Good morning and welcome to Neocani View. I'm Peter Newman, and with Thanksgiving approaching, it is time to talk about food, but not necessarily the big turkey and stuffing around your table, but the need for food and a really terrific, we won't say solution because it's just one of many things that happen in our area and need to happen. It is, it's called Smiley Brothers, and with us to talk about that is Laura Swanson, who seems to have her hand in just about everything that's good in Tillamook County. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, we are going to talk about Smiley Brothers and this incredible harvest of fish that is being provided to our area. Just lay out for us the outlines of the program, because it has wonderfulness written all over it.
Yeah, well, and that's where the kind of the name comes from. The Smiley Brothers started about 5 years ago, and it was one of those ideas, and I believe it actually started with Imee Camelli over at the North County Food Bank. And she was offered the excess fish from the North Fork Fish Hatchery. And she's like, I don't have freezer space. I can't do anything with it. Mentioned this to another friend, Peggy Campbell, and you know, it kind of grew from there. And then Peggy and Bill Campbell really was key in kind of tying all the people together to make this happen. And so they came up, devised the idea of getting those salmon and having them canned. So then they would be, you know, shelf stable and available to the food bank and easier storage. So we fast forward 5 years. And over those years, the project has evolved. They had different ways of doing things, but we really got it dialed in about 2 years ago. What happens is the excess fish from the North Fork of the fish hatchery go up the North Fork to the Waterhouse Falls life cycle trap. The great guys with Oregon Fish and Wildlife are taking those hatchery fish out of the run. And before, they would just be used for stream fertilization or whatever, but now the food-grade quality salmon are captured, put in a tote, and wait for a bunch of volunteers to swing by and pick them up and take them on down to Garibaldi to be canned.
Which, by the way, you just before we went on this morning, you mentioned you're one of those people who are actually up there
Exactly. Tossing fish, yes.
This is really hands-on for you, then.
It really is. But that's part of the project. And again, the whole thing about it makes you feel really good. It's a really terrific opportunity to get out there and see what our fish and wildlife guys go through, especially after some of our rainstorms. And they're out there monitoring that trap, you know, downpours and all. And providing this food grade quality food for the food banks. It also goes to our assisted living, Nehalem Bay House and Kilch's House. As well. And then also some of the salmon is finding its way to Meals on Wheels as well.
And the growth in the last 5-6 years, I mean, I'm looking at the chart here and it's almost off the charts.
It is off the charts this year. It's just been a phenomenal salmon run. I don't know. There's so many fisher men and women in this area. So I'm sure if you've been out there, you hopefully have hooked into one of the great fish. It's just been a phenomenal run. We have taken over 1,100 fish to CS Fishery in Garibaldi for processing. So average weight, 10 pounds. That means we have about 10,000 pounds of salmon that will get distributed to food banks and food charities.
Well, we're going to get into more detail and find out more about this and how people can plug into it. But I want to step back a little bit, especially because Thanksgiving is coming up, and talk about the need, because hunger, the hunger issue is everywhere, but the north coast of Oregon is no exception, and sadly we have a hunger problem here.
Yes, we do. 60-70% of our kids in school are on free and reduced lunches. Really speaks to the need, particularly with families and children that need that high quality protein. That's what's so nice about it too, is that this is really a special treat for the folks, and it really does boost their meals and that. So,
yeah, I'm glad you said the high quality protein, because it's not that the other things that show up at food banks is not appreciated and nutritionally valuable, but you really, you know, something like having fresh or frozen or canned or whatever salmon, that's not only a real treat, but it's so nutritionally valuable.
Exactly. And that, in fact, this year, we are going to be providing it to the food bank. They now have a lot of the more storage as far as their freezer space, so we are going to be providing it vacuum-sealed and frozen. So the folks are going to get the salmon in a variety of different ways, which really makes it more flexible for the families as well. And that's one of the things that we've discovered with this program. It's kind of led to seeing other needs. And the fact that a lot of the folks don't necessarily have the tools and utensils they need to cook. So that's why a lot of the foods have to be nearly ready to eat, because a lot of these folks are, they're not necessarily homeless, but they're close to it, and they may not have, you know, what it takes to be able to make a meal.
You mentioned the statistics of how many people, I guess, qualify as being defined as hungry in our area, but is there an invisible hunger?
Very
and,
much.
And how do you answer that? Because it's invisible.
And actually, we have some idea statistically that exists, because what happens when kids get into middle school and then high school, the numbers of kids on free and reduced lunches drops. And it's not that the people aren't still hungry, but there's a stigma. And we're a small town, small area, and the kids don't want to be identified as those kids that are, you know, getting free lunches. So they don't sign up for the programs. And that happens a lot in our area where, you know, because there are so many people that are really, truly needy, the ones that are also needy don't necessarily ask because of ego, because they don't know that they qualify for the food. And that's really it is. There is an invisible kind of group out there that could be getting assistance from the food bank and from some of these food charities, and they need to look at their own family's nutrition, and it leads to health problems and issues like that, because they aren't eating well, so then they get sick. So that, yeah, it's kind of that snowball effect.
Yeah, and how do we approach these people and preserve their dignity?
Right. And again, the whole small town and, you know, the stigma that surrounds it. So I think it is a matter of reaching out to folks. And we do a lot of that as far as the outreach that we're trying to let people know that it's okay to ask for that. And especially food. I mean, it's such a basic need, and we can fill it. And we do know that there are a lot more people out there that could benefit from the food programs.
Yeah, sadly, in a certain way, you're sort of, pardon the metaphor, swimming upstream, because, you know, we seem to have evolved over the last 2 years as a society in which the blame for being poor, the blame for being hungry is placed on that individual, when a lot of it is just really outside their control.
Oh, and so many times it's just circumstances, you know. I mean, I think there's so many people out there, you know, that are that one accident away, you know, from, you know, having, you know, real problems. And
having to make a choice between food and housing and medical care and clothing for the kids. And those are tough decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the price of gas. I mean, then because we, you know, our area is so spread out and people have to travel for services and that sort of thing, and the car breaks down, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of different issues that people have to deal with. And, yeah, I think everybody's is aware that it's there, but I don't think they realize that there's a lot more people that are at the table that need to be at the table.
Our guest this morning is Laura Swanson, and we're talking about maybe not the solution, but a solution to the problems of hunger in our area. And Smiley Brothers is one of the solutions. How did it all get started anyway? You mentioned a little bit at the beginning, but
right.
Who dreamed this thing up?
Well, and like I said, it's evolved too from the initial startup offer of excess fish from the fish hatchery. And then Bill Campbell partnered with Mike Elin, a local contractor here in the area, and then Darris Peak, who was then the owner of the Tillamook Bay Boathouse in Garibaldi. You know, and they kind of brainstormed, you know, how can we make this happen? And it's kind of a funny story. Initially, the plans were to literally fillet the fish at the stream. So as the fish and wildlife guys were bringing out, they had people there with knives that were going to fillet the fish, and then the fillets were going to go down. Well, the fish didn't cooperate. They came in at night. The weather.
Inconsiderate of them.
I know. And the weather wasn't real conducive to it. And then there was kind of the liability thing with the knives. And that, I think they tried that for 1 year. And then they just came up with the plan of the tote at the top of the trap. The fish are then just killed and put into the tote for volunteers to then pick up. And then all the filleting and processing was done down at Garibaldi at Tillamook Bay Boathouse.
And originally canning, but you've kind of broadened beyond that.
Canning has been what we've done in the past, because usually our average in a season is 350, 400 fish, which is very manageable from a canning standpoint. This year being more than three times that, we're going to have to get creative. And do some other things with the fish. It's also changed for the food banks in the last 5 years, too. They didn't have the freezer storage space. They now have more freezer storage space. And I've been making calls to churches and assisted living and other groups that I know to see where there's freezer storage space. So, because it's less expensive for us to vacuum seal and freeze the fish. They obviously take up more room. They don't have the longevity or will store as long. But it allows us to get more fish out to the community.
And how far flung are these fish?
Figured. As far as where they go. Charity-wise and that sort of thing. So the primary recipient is the North County Food Bank. Like I said, Amy Camelli was one of our first kind of, you know, how are you going to get this done? You know how she is when she kind of puts a task to you. So they are our number one priority. And then from there, we take, which is really nice, the assisted living, Nehalem Bay House, Kilch's House, Nehalem Valley Care Center. They get fresh fillets. So as the rent is coming in, they get fresh salmon delivered about once a week. So the residents up there get to enjoy the bounty of the harvest. This year, like I said, they will also be getting some frozen, so they'll be able to enjoy it for a few more months as well. Then Meals on Wheels, regionally out of Portland, comes, and they prepare a lot of the Meals on Wheels food and meals for down here, but this is also going to the Portland metro area. They've taken a significant amount of salmon as well for their programs.
Has this idea spread? Because this isn't the only hatchery in the world.
We've often said this could easily be replicated in other areas. And we've had other fish hatcheries looking at it, particularly in Clatsop County, because we have partnered with Skipanon brand as far as the canning and the processing. Last year we had so much, we had to do it in a couple of locations. That may happen again this year. So we started the initial talks with Clatsop Food Bank and then with Knapp Creek and some of the other hatcheries that are up north. So, yeah, the concept is to look at being able to replicate this.
Our guest is Laura Swanson, and we're talking about the Smiley Brothers and what's happening in the North Fork of the Nehalem River, which is an awful lot of salmon that is going into some mouths of people who really need it. And, well, what funds this? I mean, volunteers, of course, but...
Volunteers as far as the trucking and loading and unloading and that. And then we also partner with, it's CS Fishery now. Tillamook Bay Boathouse has been sold, and it's now CS Fishery. Same folks, different name. But they do the filleting and processing at their cost. So they're giving us a deal. And same with the canning. We get a special deal from that. It works out well for them, too, because this is kind of in between their seasons. Salmon fishing is winding down for them. We're actually keeping a handful of people employed for about six more weeks that they wouldn't have in between the seasons. So it's really beneficial from that standpoint as well.
At cost means there is still a cost.
There is still cost. And it is totally donation driven. So this community steps up in a big way this time of the year, helping us to raise the funds. On an average year, it's anywhere between $12,000 to $15,000 for the processing and the canning. We also partner with Neocony High School and their art department and graphics department, and the kids actually design the labels and that, and then the Honor Society at Neocony does all of our labeling for us. So it's really a tremendous partnership of several different groups that make this happen.
Is there any county, state, or federal assistance? Because it seems to me $12,000 or $15,000 is a terrific price for what you're getting? I mean, if this were a government program, we'd all be going, great, value for money.
I don't know as far as grant programs that would support that. We have gotten grants from U.S. Bank in the past, from the Creamery Association. Northwest Health Foundation gave us a grant last year. So we have gotten some grants as well that help a little bit.
And you've had some fundraisers, and up in upcoming weeks and months into December, imagine right. You will have some others.
Yes.
You let us know.
Absolutely.
Well, and could this conceivably go beyond fish? I mean, there's lots of resources, it seems to me, that if we were all a little bit better organized, if we were as organized as you, we'd see that this could be replicated for all sorts of different food items.
Well, and the gleaning program. And we don't really have a real active gleaning program here in the area. And I've always put on my other hat as manager of the Manzanita Farmers Market. There's really, and being able to partner with the food banks to get excess products.
Yeah,
and that
talk,
sort of
talk
thing.
About gleaning, because I hadn't, you know, other than just kind of using the word, you know, in its more generic sense, I never really thought about where the term came from. It all of a sudden, the last, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, I've heard the term gleaning come up more and more. Explain what it is.
Well, and especially this time of the year, because it's the harvest, and it especially, and I think it really originated with the apple growers in the Hood River Valley. I mean, they can literally, they only pick so many apples, and there are apples left. And what they have done in the past and for quite a few years is let food groups and food charities and the food bank go in and pick the excess apples that are left. So once they're done with their harvest, they go in and generally end up with, you know, hundreds of pounds of fruit. So, and then it's been extended to the farmers markets and things like that. And there's opportunity a lot of times because the vendors bring so much product, they have product left over. A lot of times they aren't going to another market. That product could easily go to the food bank. So it is. It's a matter of organization and timing and making that happen.
And the whole, it's really an old tradition that goes back to when there would be conceivably a surplus, but a surplus is no good if it just
sits in the field, and that's what happens a lot of times when, you know, they either, you know, they've reached their quota, they've reached the amount that the silos can hold. I mean, you know, whatever that amount is. And in a bounty year like this year, we talk about the fish being bad. I mean, it was a tremendous growing season. There's extra and excess that they have. And so I know that the food bank is working on programs. The Oregon Regional Food Bank is working on programs like this, and that there are some existing programs in the valley. And I know that there's a group that's gotten started here, Cannon Beach Farmers